All right, what's good, family?
All right, what's the deal?
What's happening? What's happening? It's Brother Ben Ra, and I got my man once again, Henry Hart Jackson, and we here on the Night Talk on Keeping It 100. We, you know, I like doing this night shit, so, you know, my brother feel the same way, so we feel like we just gonna chop it up a little bit, you know? So, what we got tonight, my man? What we gonna drop a little bit?
Oh, we got quite a bit. 2020 has been crazy, brothers. It's countless. It's a wealth of topics to dig into or dig from. You know,
right.
COVID. I remember we was talking about the three C's at one point. What was it COVID, right. Cops, and cannon?
Yeah, yeah.
The most relevant now at this point.
COVID, right. Cops, and cannon.
Yeah, for real. This is crazy.
For real.
It's coming out. You know, and one of the other topics that we was talking about, you know, yeah. Getting into.
Word. I remember just to kind of like piggyback of what we was talking about on the last live,
mm-hmm.
you know, we was kind of kicking it about, you know, police brutality and stuff like that. Today, you know, we're going to talk a lot about trust, man. We're going to talk about, I feel like, you know, the trust issues between men and women, between just us as brothers and sisters, black folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a big problem. And I think we need to address some things that, you know, could be issues of why, you know, we can't mm-hmm. seem to trust one another. And I think that's a big thing for us, man. You know, I think that hinders us in a lot of ways when we could be moving forward, but we're not, because, you know, we just don't trust one another.
Funny you know, thing about
we got,
that,
we got a big problem with that. So
relationships of people of color that are in jeopardy of that, but it's most likely the truth, because we are basically some of the most untrusted people on this planet, the African-American male, because a lot of things have been stripped away from us. The way the news portrays us is evil. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I remember back in the days, little old white ladies would be clutching their pocketbooks when you walk.
you're
not even thinking about them. But the way media portrays us, they portray us as thugs and all of these different kind of things. So that's how we're perceived. We're not trusted. But like you said, in a relationship, a woman is looking at these things as well. When we go out looking for a job and we mm-hmm. come back and we can't get it, they don't know that it was three other white people in there that got it. You know what I'm saying? And we got to go home and try to explain that, you know, this is the system. And then they're going to be like, the system? It's like COVID. I can't see the system. I can't see COVID, but I can see you. So I'm going to target you. You're the blame. I don't trust you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then that breaks down a whole relationship. It's a structure that I think they developed from a long time ago. They already know you weaken the foundation. You weaken the whole structure.
And, right.
And they had us jumping over brooms and kind of silly nonsense, man, pretending to be married. You know, it's a farce, it's a sham with everything they've been doing and still do.
Yeah, I feel like first, like, how can we trust one another if we continue to stab each other in the back as, you know, as a people? You know, we talk about unity in the community. We talk about coming together as a family, all these different things. It sounds great in a march when you're marching and everybody's, you know, talking unity and all this other stuff. You know, all of that stuff sounds good. But the issue is you got to live it. And I think the trust factor is an issue because we have so many of us that has broken trust with each other.
Right. You
know I mean, we've done all kinds of cutthroat, you know, nonsense to one another
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to trust each other. Like for example, let's say if you, you know, go into business with somebody,
uh-huh.
you know, you're going into business, you're trying to create something and try to do something positive, you know, and you don't put all this money and time and all this stuff into what you're doing. And then suddenly, you know, the person that you're doing business with runs away with the money. Your business
right.
goes upside down and you trying to figure out, yo, what's going on? And then when you figure out, damn, it was that brother or it was that sister that, you know, did me dirty, you say, well, damn, you know, I trusted that. I trusted our brother. I trusted our sister. And, you know, they turn around and damage us like that. And I think it's like that in relationships too. You have, you know,
men, yes, indeed.
Yeah, men who cheat on their women and do their women dirty. You know, you go out there, get another woman pregnant, all kinds of shit like that. You know, or you get caught laying up in the bedroom with some broad, you know, and your wife or your girlfriend come home and see you, you know, bugging out. You know, she's gonna get upset and you're gonna hurt her feelings, man. I think a lot of us brothers and sisters look, sisters do the same thing. They be out there cheating, running around, looking in your face, lying their asses off,
right?
You know, and knowing that they was out there with another dude or doing whatever the hell they was doing, but they think you stupid enough not to figure it out. So sometimes
it's trauma.
It's damaging. It goes back and forth. We damage each other with this type of behavior that we have, you know, with one another. And I think that's why, you know, in relationships especially, we can't seem to stick together, you know, the way that we should in order to raise our children, in order to be a better example to our children.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, yeah, in my opinion, it's a psychosis. It's like a mental issue. You got to take, because I remember I had found this cat and it fell in oil. I was, you know, a bucket of oil. I was working a mechanic shop and it was hissing and scratching at me. I had to take time and care for the cat and reassure it that it was safe. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Now, this is the thing. A lot of us brothers and a lot of sisters, too, wind up in relationships with bitter people. Women ain't the only ones that could come into a relationship bitter.
Yes.
Men do too. Coming in. First of all, you'd be an idiot to just trust somebody you don't know. Trust is earned. Like, respect and love and loyalty is earned. There's a point system. One thing leads to the next. You first meet somebody, then you trust them, then you open up a little bit more, and eventually you learn to love them. It's like a reward system. Right. One thing leads to the next. But if bitterness is there, like I said, the platform and the foundation for a lot of people are negative things. How do you build on top of that? It's a mental problem, but it's not faced in society. We just take it as normal. But it is true. And I always thought for years, I asked people, I place a question to people, like if you took a baby, right, and you put the baby on the edge of the table, and you could be the parent of anybody and hold your arms out, you standing 5 feet back from the table, and that baby falls off the table, you just lost some of his trust. Now, as ignorant or as naive as a baby is, it might still, until a baby learns, and you can actually see the learning process in the baby, because that parent holds his arms out again, a smart baby is going to look at the edge of the table before it falls off the edge. You know, I was hurt once. I don't want to get hurt again. Some people are more naive, and we just jump back into love and jumping until we're hurt and scarred beyond recognition, like FUBAR. Right. You know?
Yeah.
And then that's happened just bitter to me. For life.
I've been one of those myself.
But like I was saying, though, you take that baby, and after it looked, and you let that pick. Can you imagine a baby that you let fall off the edge of the table like 3 or 4 times? Or, and I'm equating this to a relationship or situations that go wrong 3 or 4 times, and then somebody's jumping back in the deep end of the pool. They're already bitter. They're scarred emotionally, just like that baby is. They're either not going to come to that parent, or when they in the parent's arms, they're going to hold on tight to make sure that they never fall.
Right.
And then that's when you got people that are overbearing, too clingy, and different things like that. It's like a mathematical equation. You know what I'm saying? It's like all these things go together. So
we need to work and do better at coming together as a people. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could come together to go smoke weed and drink, if we could come together to argue and talk about what this person didn't do and what that person did do, and always trying to, you know, be right. And, you know, if we could come together to do harm to each other, then we got sense enough to come together and treat each other with the respect that's due, and to work for the betterment of our community and work for the betterment of one another. You know what I'm saying? And You know, we can do that. I think because we've lived in this environment for so long, mm-hmm. we've been programmed to mm-hmm. hate each other.
Yes,
you know, I mean, since slavery, you know, we've been programmed to hate each other. We've been programmed to quickly, you know, throw each other under the bus.
That's but the problem. Taught
to forgive white folks and other people that do shit to us that, you know, is 100 times worse. Like, for example, mm-hmm. you know, let's say, you know, you let's say you in a relationship with your girl mm-hmm. and let's say you did something wrong. Let's say you didn't take out the garbage or you didn't pay a bill or, mm-hmm. you know, you've been consistently unemployed or whatever the hell it could be, mm-hmm. you know, this is going to be hell. That's going to be raised. Why? Because you got to feed your family, you know, all these different things come into play.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, men and women, we can't forgive each other because we feel like, you know, either one of us is lazy or whatever the case, you know, well, so we go hard on each other like that.
Mm-hmm.
But here goes Dylan Roof. He'll walk into a church and right. kill 9 people with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have people talking about, we need to forgive him.
Right.
We need to forgive him. Like, what? I mean, you can't even
forgive me.
If I forget to wash the damn dishes, you can't forgive my black ass. You gonna forgive this?
Think about how they mushed up people's minds up. The same thing with, like I say, with the Nick Cannon, a lot of it ties back into itself.
Right.
That's because they committed atrocities, and the first thing they hand us is this school of thought or philosophy of Christianity of forgive right. those who's done you wrong. That's very genius.
But that's fine. Forgive me then, shit.
Hey, right.
You know what I mean? The focus should be on us making sure that we grow as a people and not repeat the same cycle of hating one another and not wanting to trust each other. You know what I'm saying? But the more we continue to hurt one another in different ways, the more it seems like we can't seem to come together. We can't trust each other if we continuously hurt one another. We continuously out here in the streets shooting and killing one another. I mean, here it is. We are here protesting, marching, hurting our damn feet, and you killing people while people are protesting.
Well, actually, I have my own philosophy on that. I'm not sure. Then you hear on the news,
you hear about, well, you know, there was a murder, there was this, there was that. It's like, well, damn, what are we out there walking around for if you still are going to keep doing the same shit? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
But I think we got to change. An important factor is that you can only work with the tools that you have. Some of these young people don't have morals, haven't been taught or guided the correct way. And it's our responsibility as the elders and all the people in society to pull them aside, you know, and be like, you know what, brother, a young sister, that's not right. You know what I mean? But we scared because we've been divided, divide and conquer. A lot of the older people are scared because it started from back in the days. You talk to somebody, child, like it takes a community to raise a child. Now you talk to the child trying to correct something in their actions, the parent would be ready to whip your ass. They'd be like, what you say to my child? I was just trying to help guide them in a more, but that's my child. Don't tell them nothing. Don't tell them shit. They'll be cursing right in front of their child, ready to beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot that we got to recover from and come back from.
Right.
But no other, like, to my knowledge, whether you're talking about the Native Americans, the Jews, or anybody, has been divided to the point of, like, house nigger, field nigger, you know what I'm saying, slave.
Right.
So we've been divided from a long time and led to mistrust and have a distrust for each other.
Right. So yeah,
we've been divided for a long time from my woman. Like I said, I'm learning about different things they did in front of the woman. Beat another mm-hmm. slave, like going back to the Nick Cannon right now, they beating Nick Cannon up. Like, he got the lashes on his back from them making an example of him even saying anything about him. He's like the new Kunta Kinte. You know what I'm saying? What's your name? Don't study though. What you say? Like, step back in line, nigga. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know what? Like, me and you talked about prior mm-hmm. to us even getting on the air. Mm-hmm. I feel like Nick Cannon you know, yeah, we all should have the right to say whatever the hell we want to say. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't have no backlash or nothing.
However, nobody does.
However,
except for our people.
If you're working for Viacom, which is not owned by black people, okay, you working for them, okay, and you sitting up here talking about how white people are savages and all this other kind of stuff, what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, son. Like the timing and everything.
What you think is going to happen? So, you know, my thing now, if you're working with somebody that's totally black owned and operated, and you say something like that, and you know, they have the same kind of like mindset you got, and they ain't worried about that, then you good to go. But if you getting on there popping off like that, what do you think they're going to do? You know what I'm
saying? That's what I'm saying. I really don't think that he was worried about the money, because that's what we were saying too earlier.
You know,
he comes from money. His family is money.
But you're turning around apologizing, though. Like, my thing is,
I'm not actually sure if he fully apologized, because I remember when the whole thing was going on, he started barking on them. Like, matter of fact, I want an apology. Now, I don't know if this is false media, like Trump, like people be saying. I'm not sure what's going on, but from what I was reading, from what that brother was putting up, it didn't seem like apologies to me. It looked like he was looking for the support of Viacom, and this harsh time right now with everything going on for us trying to identify with our culture and selves, that they would have stood behind him and rallied behind him to try to, you know, basically show more support and us trying to identify with our history, our roots and culture. The apology went out to a rabbi that he knew, and you know, some of his Jewish friends, close personal friends. I'm not saying that he should apologize to the whole community if something you did or said was wrong. But once again, I don't really feel in this heart you think that it's wrong, because I know he wasn't wrong. The information is not wrong.
Right.
I mean, these European, I was on Facebook not too long ago explaining some of these facts to, and it, a black man, to my knowledge, don't own a History Channel or none of the books I've read. I don't read black white hate manuals. I just read history. And in reading history, I saw everything, the same thing that Nick Cannon was talking about. Right. I read about the Caucasus Mountains and the Neander Valleys. You know what I'm saying? I read about the savagery and everything. So this is not something we just made up. Let's sit around as black people
And also, the thing about Hebrew, you know, Hebrew is just a title. Hebrew is not a language, first of all.
Yeah, it's Hebrew, not a language. Hebrew, neither is Jew.
Hebrew means one who crossed over.
Crossed over.
Those people crossed over the Tigris, Euphrates River, they came over to the land of Canaan. The Canaanites called Abraham the Hebrew.
But that's what I'm saying. All those things
cross over, but that's not a language.
Yes, indeed. Okay. When you get down to it, this. Islam, Morris science, all of this stuff. Like, I mean, they take from us and then they give us back. It's like bread. You see, they take whole wheat bread, they enrich it, and then give us back white bread. Like, hey, you eat this. They done took all the nutrients out of it. But that's why I'll be trying to tell people about Christianity. I grew up as the son of a pastor in the church, but like they got our people so baffled that we can't even process that. You know what I'm saying? They give us back nonsense. Like they'll take they'll take a fruit and take out all the minerals, drain it, and give it back to you dried up. suck on that. That'll do.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. That's how you want to live your life. But and that's the messed up thing is when we start trying to dig into our culture or get to the real berry and the fruit of the juice and to the essence, they make it seem like we're crazy. Oh, this nigga done lost his mind. He wearing robes and head wraps and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, cause that's where we started from. You know, so we try to re-identify it with something that was stolen from him. You know how atrocious it is for somebody to be a victim and have things still stolen from them and they're trying to recover it and you laughing at them? That would have been like us laughing at the Jews when they was trying to recover their art. They stolen artifacts in their art from Germany and from the atrocities under Hitler. And laughing at them, laughing at them, say, damn, man, let that go. It's just paint on a canvas, nigga. Like, come on. That's insensitive. You understand what I'm saying?
Correct.
For us to try to reconnect to something that was stolen from us, that's sacrilege. And that's the same thing that they did to the Native Americans with their dead and buried. And while we're on the subject, they need to stop digging up our dead. Every other day, I see them digging a new tunnel in Egypt. When's the last time we dug up George Washington or Viking or something?
Right.
Is there a Viking museum? You know what I mean? Like the Nordic. And that's what I'm saying. But they're real comfortable with digging into our history, our past, and stealing it. As soon as we start trying to connect to it.
And then when they go in and steal it, they recycle it, and but they read, they translate stuff into what they wanted to be. What
they want
to tell us a whole different story. They, what they do is they lie. They'll take pieces of the truth and then lie over
story. No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?